God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. As we read 1 Corinthians 13, it's a love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares another lesson in following the Master, the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, continuing my talks today on Reflections of a Granny. Yesterday we were talking about crosses and how sometimes we wish God would give us a different kind of a cross. We look at someone else's cross and we think, well, I think I could bear that one all right. But this one that God has given me, I wish it were different. Let's remember that the contradiction of a lawful desire is an occasion to find in it a small share in the cross of Jesus. The contradiction of a lawful, legitimate, perfectly right and proper desire is an occasion to find in it a small share in the afflictions of Christ. Because, of course, we have to live with other people. We have to fit in with other people's plans. We can't just do our own thing. We can't be me-oriented and, at the same time, God-oriented. And so it's God who permits those contradictions, those upsets in our plans. What is our response? Let's ask the Lord to help us to find in it a small share in the afflictions of Christ. Yesterday, I read a statement that God's commandment is the way in which He loves me. That gave me pause. I've been thinking about that. God's commandment is the way in which He loves me. And I thought of a mother's orders to a child, do not touch that stove. Do not run out in the street. Why does she care? Well, because she loves the child. Same with a father who disciplines his son is like our Heavenly Father who has to discipline us so that we will know that we truly are sons and not, as the Scripture says, bastards. I think of my parents and how their commandments to us children were the way in which they loved us. What do I pray for my grandchildren? That they might walk in truth. As John wrote in one of his epistles, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I've written a book called Keep a Quiet Heart. There are many suggestions in that book as to how one can do that, because it doesn't come naturally, does it? But one way in which we can maintain a quiet heart is to rid ourselves of sensitive selfishness. I think that's one of the pitfalls of old age. The older we get, the more we're aware of weakness, of loss, of possibly physical problems, the being divested of our powers, we are aware of that. Our memory is not as good as it used to be. Our sight is not as good as it used to be. Our hearing, perhaps. Maybe our legs aren't working the way they used to. We don't have the energy. Form clearly in your mind the idea of eternity. And don't get upset about what happens in these 3 or 4 minutes of mortal life. 3 or 4 minutes is about all it would amount to, isn't it, in comparison with eternity? But we have to be candid with ourselves and realize that old age does bring weakenings, fallings from us, vanishings. But it is a segment of the will of God. This decade in which I am now living is a segment of the will of God. It wasn't my idea that I should be born in December of 1926. It was God's idea. And so it brings a sharper focus, I think, on things of eternity as opposed to the things of time. Now, I do read Time magazine, usually. A very different set of values, a very different rather horrifying look sometimes at popular culture. I learn some new terminology once in a while, and I'm certainly having to learn some new terminology as I try to learn how to work a new computer. I hear expressions like the information highway. In other words, there's a whole lot of things in Time magazine that crowd out eternity. Time is the opposite of eternity. And some of you remember that there used to be a magazine called Eternity. Of course, it was a Christian magazine. Now, I am determined not to capitulate to the world's values, to popular culture. God helping me, I will not, and I want to simplify my life. But I don't want to lose interest in the world as long as God keeps me here. This is the world where I live. This is the place where God has assigned me my portion and my cup, and I want to grow and learn and listen. Remembering always God's perspective, His creation, the stupendous verities which we affirm as Christians. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Three utterly and eternally unchangeable verities, and nothing in my life can possibly alter those in any way whatsoever. Nothing that happens to you or me today can change the fact that Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. But at the same time, keeping my primary focus on eternity, I am thrilled when I read things like the article in Time magazine some months ago about the Hubble Space Telescope. Some of you remember those pictures. Two enormous, very strange-looking dark clouds. And this is what the article begins with. They look remarkably like great towering thunderheads, billowing high into the evening sky as they catch the last rays of the setting sun. They are so sharp, so startlingly three-dimensional, that the mind wants to domesticate them, to bring them down to earth, to imagine them rising on the horizon or just beyond the wings of an airliner. But these are no ordinary clouds. They stand not 30,000 feet, but, are you ready for this? Almost 6 trillion miles high. They are illuminated not with ordinary earthly light, but with searing ultraviolet radiation, spewing from nuclear fires at the center of a handful of newly formed stars. And you know how far away they are from the Earth? 7,000 light years. More than 400 million times as far away as the sun. More than 400 million times as far away as the sun. This cosmic vista, seen in a photo released by NASA 2 weeks ago, is the latest in a series of stunning images captured from the ends of the universe. Well, who knows whether it's the end of the universe? Maybe it isn't anywhere near the end of the universe. By the Hubble Space Telescope. Once written off as a near total loss because of an inaccurately ground mirror, the Hubble has in the past 2 years redeemed itself spectacularly. It has offered close-up pictures of the distant galaxies that are 10 times as sharp as those produced by Earth-bound telescopes. Pictures that are not just scientifically significant, but breathtakingly beautiful as well. In fact, the orbiting observatory has extended our view of the cosmos more dramatically than any single instrument since Galileo first pointed his crude, low-power telescope at the heavens. And the caption of this picture of these 6 trillion mile high clouds says this, calls them pillars of creation. As immense clouds of interstellar hydrogen are slowly boiled away by the intense ultraviolet light of nearby stars, the densest clumps of gas, visible as wispy tendrils, especially clear at the top of the leftmost pillar, are gradually exposed. These projections, each as thick as our solar system is wide, cradle newborn stars. When the hazy shrouds are stripped away, there will be nothing left but stars. Any gas and dust that might have formed planets will have evaporated. Scientists theorized that stars may be born this way. Now, they can watch it happen. It's our God who calls himself the Most High. We read in the Bible of the highest heaven. Did you imagine it could be far, far, far higher than 6 trillion miles? And yet, you know, we have God's word that he who made the stars, he who called the planets into being, also is interested in the one with a broken heart. Someone is listening to me today whose heart is about to break into 1,000,000 pieces. God cares about that. The Bible says he heals the broken in heart and binds up their wounds. Reflections of a granny. We've been thinking about some of the things that I reflect on as a granny. I think a lot about my grandchildren, of course. I think about my step-grandchildren. I think about my surrogate grandchildren, the Revel family, who live in Smithfield, Virginia. Children who never had any grandparents of their own, and they asked us if we would be willing to be grandparents. In fact, they asked their mother if they could call me granny. And their mother said, well, I think you can, as long as you be very respectful. And so the oldest girl wrote to me a number of years ago, and she said, may we call you granny? We will be very respectful. Thank God for children like that. Thank God for the privilege of being a granny. And if you're not a granny, but old enough to be one, how about thanking God that you're old?
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliot has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.